Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the People Processes Podcast, where we dive deep into the tools, laws, and yes, processes that you need to know in order to scale and grow your organization. On this podcast, we help you structure your business processes to make your people your organization's greatest competitive advantage. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much any podcatcher of your choice. You can also subscribe at peopleprocesses.com, which will give you exclusive subscriber-only content. Here is your host, Rami Alagil, author and CEO of People Processes.
Your right-hand man steps up and says, look, I'm heading out the door. I've got another job offer. I'm going. Maybe it's not someone who's been with you the whole dang time. Maybe it's a hire that you brought in a year or two ago who's overperformed in every way. They pick things up quickly. They're your go-to on multiple items. Everyone loves them. And they turn in notice. Or they threaten to turn in notice. Why are you losing the best talent in your company? Maybe you've recently lost a top performer or had one threaten to quit. Maybe you've also, coincidentally, the one leaving is your right hand. You can't trust others to do their work. They're your go-to for X, Y, and Z. There's this concept going around of performance punishment, and I want to discuss it in today's episode of People Processes. There is a phenomenon where our organizations are not doing right by our top performers. And on social media right now, there's a large section of people who talk about how hard work is unrewarded, that if you do a good job, all you get is more work, that you should slow down, that you should not outshine your coworkers, not do your best, most efficient job, because that just means you'll be punished. For overperformance, you should sandbag it. Hate that discussion at all. And yet, in many organizations, they're set up not out of evil, but out of not having the appropriate processes in place that their top performers are punished and unrewarded and leads to turnover in those positions. You can always keep Chad, who doesn't do his work and has no other opportunities and no one would want to work with him. He's never the guy that quits. It's always the ones that you really, really, really want to stay. I want to talk in this episode about two things. One, I want to dispel that on average, this choice of not doing your best is a good one for your career. That it goes unrewarded. I want to take it from the employee perspective, why that's wrong, and explain why sometimes it may feel like you're working very hard for no additional reward. And I want to tell them to buck up. And then I want to talk to employers and explain what you have to do to make sure that you don't lose the best people in your organization. So let's take it from the employee perspective first. You come into a new job, you're in a class of four or five or six people, all in a similar job. You go in there and you start crushing it. You are the one who gets the work done the fast. You have the fewest errors. You are killing it. After a month, you can tell that you're doing better than the rest of these guys and gals. And two or three months in, what happens is, because you've done more, you close out more pieces, you build walls faster, you handle clients better, whatever it is, you teach children more quickly, I don't know. You get more. They give you meaner clients because you can deal with the angry ones, whereas Sheila over here just starts crying every time someone yells at her. You're given the harder engineering problems because in a week, you can turn and fix this problem, whereas I give it to the other people on your team, and it takes a month. The reward for hard work, the reward for good work is more work. The reward for competence is a punishment. the employee perspective, especially early on, it feels like that is a bad thing. And what I will tell you, as someone who has employed hundreds of people and worked in the HR for tens of thousands, that is accurate and that is exactly what is happening, and it's okay. When we hire somebody, look, we do our best to make sure they're going to be a good fit for the job. But even at best, we're shooting for 80-20. 80% they're going to succeed. And by succeed at 80%, we mean not fail. The likelihood that we've selected an absolute superstar and that you're going to go in there and crush it, man, it's a lottery and we're so excited when it happens. We also have been in business long enough to know that some people come in, hit the ground running, kill it for the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 13 weeks, and they may be the shining star of their class, but they can't, but as maybe they learn quickly, right? That may be an effect of a very fast learner. Then when it gets to actually doing the work on a consistent basis with detail-oriented consistency, with when it gets to the really complex problems that you don't even see for 6 months or a year, maybe your batchmates, the people who are hired at the same time as you, maybe they learn slower, but when they get there, they get it done right, right? Maybe they show up every single day on time and your high performer right there at the beginning, within a couple of weeks, once it's not shiny and new, stops paying attention. You don't really know. What I find, it depends on the job. I mean, maybe there are simple jobs out there that, you know, you can tell within 3 days whether they know how to lay bricks. I don't know. I think brick laying is probably pretty dang complicated, but what do I know about that? In our business and in most of my clients' businesses, it really takes a minimum of 3 months, but probably more like 6 to 18 months to really get to the end of an evaluation and have a strong feeling on the trajectory of a person. What I will tell you is if you are an employee who comes in, learns, even if you don't learn as fast as someone else, when you get to the work, you do it right, you do it well, you do it efficiently, you push hard, you show up consistently, and you behave well with your coworkers and clients in that you are responsive and polite and pushing the projects forward. In the vast majority of circumstances, that will stand out like a shining star, and you will be rewarded. There are some organizations where you won't be, and we're going to talk about those to the employers. But in most cases, and I say this not as an anecdote, but as a studier of labor economics, you will be rewarded. There are not perfect analogs for high performance, but I'm going to link to an article on the St. Louis Fed that actually just came out pretty recently, where they did a longitudinal study from 1979 to 2010, if I remember right, looking at people, male workers only, between ages 25 and 55, trying to take a similar class. They tracked like 1,000 employees, and what they looked at were they used hours worked. Not a perfect analog for high performance by any means. There are some people who can get a lot more done in an hour and go home than other people can do in a day. But it's trying to show the relationship between working extra hours and your pay. So if you work a 40-hour week in this article, that's the baseline, right? An average. It's actually like 39.6 is the average for these 25 to 55-year-old men. And you do that over the course of your 30-year career. That gives us the baseline of how much money you would make at the beginning at age 25 and how much at the end at age 55. If you, however, worked an average of 44 or 36, and this actually looks as far as people who work as little as 20 hours a week and those who work as many as 59, which is an average work week, what relationship would that have? So, for example, if it were a linear direct relationship in effort to reward, 40 hours would pay 50 grand a year, 44, right? 10% more should pay 55 grand. And 60, 20% more should pay 60 grand, right? Well, 50 is 25% more, so it'd be a bit more than 60. Anyway, the point is, what they found and were able to prove is that it's not linear. The relationship between how much you work and how much you get paid is dynamic. People who work 50% more hours don't make 50% more dollars. They make well over 100% more dollars. And the people who work 50% as many hours don't make 50% of the money. They make 20% of the money over the course of their careers. Hard work is rewarded, and it is normally rewarded in an exponential fashion. As someone who runs these businesses, I can tell you, as an employee, that average employees follow an average chart. But if you are one of those exceptional hard workers, you're able to skip rungs and jump quickly, and you will be rewarded in most cases. The only exceptions are the bad employers. They're pretty rare, and I want to talk to employers about this. If you hear in your organization be a business owner for a second, and you're looking out and you look at your employees, maybe you got 30, maybe you got 50, maybe you got 5, maybe you got 500. And you can think, these three people are my right hand. They're my go-tos. They're everything. You can't trust others to do their work. They're your key people. Maybe you've also heard in your organization in exit interviews that you play favorites, that there isn't much room for growth, or that it's a very political organization. Those are all symptoms of the same thing. They're symptoms of a lazy management style. When you lead an organization, you have to think about accomplishing a mission and leading your employees. And when you look at your high performers, the people who are stepping up and taking care of the big problems that you have, your constant thought needs to be, how do you replicate and grow that person? What I often see in smaller businesses is that you find somebody who can do a job, and you're looking at that person and saying, they've got it down. As your organization grows, that job grows too. And if they're killing it, it's not a burning fire. It's not a problem. You have plenty of other places where it's not just not, you know, you're maybe overwhelming somebody. It's not working. So your entire focus is on these areas that aren't working. And that leaves your top performers in charge of areas where they are getting flooded. And being amazing people, they can handle it for a while. But over time, they will burn out. They will be tired of being the one who is relied on for that one thing over and over, or those three things over and over. And whenever there's a problem, they're the ones that you go to for it. Business is hard. You have competitors out there trying to take your lunch, and you have real problems that are not just, well, maybe you have an area that someone's being worked a little hard on. You have areas where ain't nothing working, and that's where your brain goes. But you have to take the time to look at the areas where people are doing fine. In fact, where some of your best people are, and they've got it down, and it's not a burning fire, those areas have to take some of your time to make sure that you're growing the resources, rewards, and opportunities of the people who are making it work. As a business owner, it's very difficult to turn your gaze and your time to the areas that are fine, but you will find that if you do not, those areas will rapidly not become fine. You have a new employee who's overperforming, completely reasonable that 3 months in that they feel like, hey, I'm killing it and nobody's given me a raise yet. Personally, I think it's a good idea to try at 3 months, 6 months, 1 year to make sure you have performance evaluations that provide a motivational increase, right? But it doesn't have to be much. It just has to be enough to recognize some of the outstanding performers. And perhaps it's a pretty rare thing. We use spot bonuses in our organization to do that. But it's an imperfect science. There are people who I have spot bonused at 3 months because they're doing so dang well who aren't here at 6 months. You know, it's a guessing game. But you do need to be evaluating your employees in the at the entry level for potential and the kind of view that they will possibly eventually be leaders in your organization, and start giving them opportunities to show that off. And if they win those opportunities, you definitely want to make sure that they are rewarded for them financially, but also in terms of title, recognition, training, growth, etc. Don't let yourself create an organization where top performers in an entry-level role are siloed and given a bunch of crap where they're the only ones who can do it and not given opportunities to learn other things and for other people to take that work off of them. So important. As for larger organizations where you're looking at your top performers who are in charge of bigger pieces, you have to make sure they are developing the continuity plans internally so that they can continue to grow. One of the things that you'll see in performance punishment posts on social media is bosses who say, I can't promote this person because they're too valuable. I can't survive if we promote Josh because he's important, covers this key part. No one else can do it. I can't promote him up to team manager because who's going to do his job? If you ever hear something like that, you are doing it wrong and you need to step over immediately and get to work in there, because that means you've got great talent who's being screwed by your company. When people kill it, you need to be taking that person and their manager and duplicating them as best you can so that that person can continue to grow. I'm sure you need someone like that in another position as well. Let me recap. Employers, you have a duty to your top performers to give them more opportunity, more reward, and you need to have a process in place where you evaluate not just the people who are underperforming, the people who are overperforming. You can look at this on a spectrum of potential or accomplishment, and make sure you're giving those opportunities as quickly as you can reasonably be certain that they are in fact an overperformer. On the other hand, employees who are in these positions where maybe you're relatively new to an organization and you're not sure whether this organization is one that's going to reward your overperformance or not, I would say the data says on average, you do. On average, your overperformance will be rewarded. It's totally good to advocate for yourself, but realize, and you may, as you get further into your organization, realize this yourself one day when you're a great manager or an executive, man, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell who is really a top gun and who is average. It's much easier to spot people who are underperforming. It really is. Because overperformance comes from consistency over time, just like anything, right? Just like losing weight, getting strong, getting smart. You can't do it by just blasting out an 8-hour weekend and just, I'm working so hard. I did it. Herculean effort. Question is, can you consistently apply these things over time? So let your manager know, hey, I think I'm killing it. I'm ready for that performance review when you are. I'm going to keep on rocking it out piece by piece. Tell me if there's another way I can shine. Keep your own records. Show what you're doing and how you're overperforming so that when the time comes, you can go to bat for yourself. And a good organization is going to love that and they're going to reward you. Okay. Deep breaths. Stick it out. Don't listen to these people who say that you should sandbag it, that you won't get rewarded. It's possible you could be in an organization that does that, but the truth is those organizations go out of business fast, right? They really do. For employers, fix it. Make sure you're having a unrelenting focus on your talented 10, on those top 10% that are dragging your organization forward. They are, getting rid of underperformers is very important. Making sure your average pay bands and all that are in line with benchmarks makes total sense. If 1 in 10 of your employees is overperforming, which is probably about the number, those are the ones that you as an executive need to have hawk-like focus on, protecting them, giving them opportunities, keeping them from looking out the door. Because they're also the ones who are doing the best in your organization, have the most opportunities to move somewhere else. They're your most valuable asset. I hope this video was helpful to you. Again, my name is Rami Alangil. I'm the CEO of People Processes. I hope a discussion around this has given you some insight. And if you haven't, if you think this was helpful, please like, subscribe, check us out at peopleprocesses.com. I would love to hear from you. And I look forward to listening to your comments down below. If you are an employee who feels like they worked really hard and weren't rewarded over time, tell me the story down below. You're an executive or manager and you've lost a top talent and this video made you think, tell me that story below. I'd love to hear from you. Any questions? And I'll be the one to respond. Thanks for tuning in. Now it's time for you to go out there and get your work done. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check us out on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at People Processes. Go to peopleprocesses.com, subscribe, and get some of our subscriber-only content. And if you got something out of this, make sure you share it with anyone you know. Thank you for tuning in. Now it's time for you to go out there, have a great day, and get your work done.